land of endless days. I'll cling to him forever and look beyond the sky and live with him forever in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I'll live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer, more to die. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by. I'll tell and sing love's story there on high, there with my dear Redeemer. There's no more to die. Oh, yes, I live in glory by and by.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
If you ate real good this afternoon, you ought to say amen.
Amen.
If you ate hound doggishly, you ought to say amen again. I just want you to know that the women of this church passed the Southern cooking test. They know how to throw down in Roosevelt City. Now, I say that because everybody down south can't cook. But I want you to know y'all passed the test. It was a great, great, great physical meal that we shared with each other in that fellowship, Paul, and we appreciate it so, so very, very much. It's good to have Brother Peter Moss with us. He is one of the great preachers and teachers, not just of Birmingham, but in our brotherhood, and we appreciate his taking time out of his busy schedule to sneak in and share with us this afternoon. Now, if you want to know where the bodies are buried in Anthony's life, just see me after church, but make sure you have a $100 bill to give me. I ain't sharing no secrets for less than $100. Amen, somebody. Otherwise, they're going to have to die with me. Amen. We've known each other for a very, very, very long time back in the Harding days, and we just have appreciated our relationship over the decades. It's a friendship that sounds a lot like Scripture. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and Anthony and I have had that relationship for a very long time. We started off teaching in the same school district and just have had a wonderful relationship for just a long time. We appreciate him. And Violet, thank you for fixing my plate to go. After I had a sit down at first, I still got a plate to go. And just appreciate that so, so much. Tonight, I'm going to treat you like Elizabeth Taylor did her eighth husband. I'm not going to keep you long. I know that we've had a great time this morning and a great meal, and I know y'all ready to go home, and we're ready to get on the road, amen? So we just have enjoyed our time with you. Now tonight we're going to do something. I'm going to address your interest, hopefully, in the book of John, the chapter is number 13, and we're going to look at the unfolding of a situation that takes place here. Beginning at verse 1, the message in these first three verses, the message says this: just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the end. It was supper time. The devil, by now, had Judas, son of Simon, the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for the betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything, that he came from God and that he was on his way back to God. At this point, I'm going to flip to the NIV translation in verse 4. So he got up from the meal. I want you to get a visual of this. He got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now that what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet." I think you got the message. "But my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. The whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." You know he's talking about Judas. "For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, 'Not everyone is clean.' When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. Now, I've got a subject for this lesson, and it's a combined subject of two thoughts. It's a third class ticket and a towel. A third class ticket and a towel. Now, here's what I want to do. I want you to use your sanctified imagination with me and get a picture of what's going on here in John chapter 13. The disciples are walking toward this upper room, maybe two or three at a time, just kind of casually walking through these dusty, dirty streets of Jerusalem to this particular location. They come in. They see the basin in the corner. They see the water in the corner. They walk past the basin and the water to their reclining location around the table, and they get seated and they chatter and talk and converse until Jesus, who was already there watching them come in, until Jesus gets up from his reclining position, takes off his outer garment. Y'all need to see this. Walks over to the corner like a servant. Normally when you come to dinner and you're wealthy enough, a servant is going to wash the guest's feet. And if there is no servant, then whoever comes in first is supposed to go to the corner, get the basin and the water, and start washing the guests' feet. These guys are so into themselves, so out of the loop, that they go get and sit or recline and get ready to eat. And they have their little pre-dinner conversation. And Jesus gets up and walks over and gets the basin in the water, takes off his outer garment, and starts. Y'all ought to see what those feet look like. Dirty, dusty, crusty feet from walking the streets. And he starts washing feet. And a hush comes over the disciples. They're speechless. They can't even talk now. And they're looking at the master humble himself to wash their feet. He gets to Peter. You know, Peter's, you got to love Peter. Anybody like Peter here? Somebody ought to tell me that you're a lot like Peter. Raise your hand, because I don't want to be in this by myself. A lot of us are like Peter. We got an answer for everything. Lord, are you coming to wash my feet too? Now, you just saw him wash other folks' feet. He's coming to wash his feet. He said, no. Wait, time out. You ain't washing my feet. Jesus said, well, you don't understand, because if you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part in the kingdom with me. He said, I tell you what, I understand. Feet, hands, body, wash everything. Head. He said, I just need to wash your feet. Now, Jesus finishes this, Peter, and he goes back to his position. Can I tell y'all something? Nobody washed Jesus' feet. Y'all don't see this. None of the disciples had enough understanding of what Jesus did to say, Lord, I got it. None of them got up and washed his feet. So I said, do you understand? Do you understand what I've done for you? So now hold that thought. Hold that thought. Just hang on to it and go with me to those thrilling days of yesteryear when the Lone Ranger would ride again. Out west, on the golden stages of the West, the transportation that was most used was the stagecoach. Louis L'Amour, who is one of those great writers of Westerns, as a matter of fact, Tom Selleck has started a lot of Louis L'Amour's Westerns. Louis L'Amour said that the stagecoach wasn't just the stagecoach, but when you bought your ticket, you could buy three different kinds of ticket. You could buy a first class ticket, a second class ticket, or a third class ticket. Now, the first class ticket was for the person who would get on the stagecoach. And if the stagecoach ran into any problems, if the stagecoach got caught in the mud, you could stay on the stagecoach. If the stagecoach lost a wheel, you could stay on the stagecoach. If the stagecoach had trouble going up a hill, you could stay on the stagecoach and let somebody else take care of the problem. Now, you ought to know that the stagecoach is the church. Some of us have second class tickets. You could stay on the stagecoach until something happened. But because you have a second class ticket, you had to get off the stagecoach. But you didn't have to do anything to fix the problem. So if the stagecoach has trouble going up a hill, all you had to do was get off the stagecoach and just kind of stand over to the side. If the wheel came off, you had to get off the stagecoach, but you didn't have to do nothing. You just stand over to the side. Y'all know how church folk do. If the stagecoach got caught in the mud, you had to get off the stagecoach. But you didn't have to do nothing. You just stand over here and kind of watch and see how it was going to take care of itself. Now, somebody could only buy a third class ticket. Now, if you have a third class ticket, What that means is, not only do you have to get off the stagecoach, but you got to help fix the problem. Only third class ticket holders had to do this. So they were prepared now. Help us, Jesus. They were prepared to push the stagecoach up the hill if it couldn't get up there by itself. They were prepared to fix the wheel. They were prepared to get in the mud and do what needed to be done. Now, I'm of the opinion this afternoon that because of who's here, most of you are carrying a third class ticket. Now, if you have a first class ticket or a second class ticket, I want you to trade in. I want you to go to Delta and I want you to give up your first and second class ticket and say, I want my money back because I'm now prepared for a third class ticket and a towel. Now, church, you remember back in Luke chapter 10, there was a man who had a third class ticket. We call him the Samaritan. Somebody came along, and it's not part of the canon, and called him the good Samaritan. We have a priest and a Levite in the story, and these two were privileged. They had a first and second class ticket. They decided that they could not get their hands dirty. Let somebody else do what needs to be done. I cannot afford, with my religious status, to get involved in the dirt of mankind. So the good Samaritan, realizing that he had a third class ticket, not only goes to the man, but sees what's wrong with the man, decides to do something about what the man needed. You see, difficulty never stops a third class ticket holder. See, some people in the church, when they run into difficulty, they leave the church. They see problems and they try to go somewhere else. They don't like the leadership and they think the preacher preaches too long and the elders don't know how to shepherd and the deacons don't know how to deep, so they leave the church or they go looking for another place. But I'm so glad this afternoon that there are enough people in the church who have a third class ticket. They're going to ride along as far as they can, as long as they can, but when something happens, they're going to take off the outer garment. They're going to roll up the sleeves. They're going to get dirty. They're going to push and they're going to be creative. And they're going to say, this is a situation that calls for my help. And I'm going to productively give the church what I have to offer in their time of need. Well, aren't you glad? Especially as a preacher, that God put somebody in the church who's willing to help, who's anxious to heal, who's eager to serve, and who's ready to love. We need people who are in a creative, redemptive way, ready to do something other than stand on the sidelines and say, I love the way people critique the church. They say things like, they ain't got sense enough to have a two-car parade. They are so stupid that they don't have sense enough to work their way out of a wet paper bag. Well, if God gave you so much intelligence, and if your IQ is so high, then why don't you use what God gave you to help the church move from A to B? Well, you say, B ain't that far. Well, you got to get to B before you get to C, D, E, and F. So you ought to be able to help the church move in stages with your third class ticket. Now don't forget the towel, because the towel represents service. I like the way Martin Luther King put this thing. He said, you don't have to know how to make subject and verb agree with each other in order to serve. You just need to serve. You see what needs to be done. It amazes me. See, I don't have to have an elders meeting to serve. I don't need to meet with the deacons to serve. If a child throws up in the vestibule, I don't need to call for somebody. Go to the janitor's closet, get the bucket and the mop, put some water in it and some detergent, and go out. There are things that I see, and I don't need to call a business meeting to do something for the Lord. There ain't an elder in the brotherhood that would reprimand you for doing something to help the church. Amen, somebody. Now, Jesus comes along, and I love him. He's the kind of guy who arrests your attention. He walks into the synagogue one day, and he comes down the middle aisle, and he walks up to the podium, and he picks up the book, and he opens up the book that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to release the captives, to give sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Now, what is Jesus really saying? Well, he's really saying, I don't want a privileged seat. I have accepted a third class ticket. And now I'm going to tackle these hard problems in people's lives. Amen, somebody. First class love, but a third class ticket. Now, there are times that I go out to eat, and I feel privileged for you to serve me. And I expect for you to serve me. One of the things that has bothered me about servant related type of people who are served people is that now when they take your order, they try to remember everything you say. And I'm like, are you going to get this? I'm telling you what I want now. Are you going to get this? No, I got it. And they don't write anything down, Potts. And then they come back. Now, last night we were at O'Charlie's. The Blacks and Claudine and I, and brother Black and I ordered a triple decker club sandwich. Now he said, "I want a triple decker club, and I want my bread toasted, and I want it on rye bread, and I don't want any turkey. I want all ham, and I don't want Monterey. I want Swiss cheese." And I said, "I want the regular club. I want the turkey and I want the ham. And I don't want my wheat toast. I don't want my wheat bread toasted." So after waiting about 40 minutes, I got to tell you, this is like a comedy. What they brought us was the exact opposite of what the two of us ordered. And I'm like... See, people get on me for being, for wanting what I want. I believe I ought to have it my way. I'm going to your restaurant. I'm paying my money, and I want your service. And then you're going to, I said, we need to see the manager. It's time to call the manager in because we need something to be done, some adjustment on. Does anybody like do that like I do? I'm glad I ain't the only crazy one up in here. I want what I want. And I'll be glad to pay for it. But don't mess up my order when you think you can remember something instead of writing it down. You get it all messed up. Now, I admit that I'm spoiled. I admit I live in America. Now, if I lived in Russia, I may not feel this way. But because I live in America, I think I ought to have it my way. Now, we are spoiled because, see, we expect when we go into a McDonald's, we expect somebody to say, "May I help you? What can I do for you today? What would you like? May I serve you? Please enjoy your meal. Have a nice afternoon." We want all of that. And a matter of fact, when I go to Panda Express now and I check out and I get my receipt, they keep asking me, "Call this number and you'll get a third item free." I call the number. And they ask me about 15 questions. I answer all the questions and they say, "Write this number down. And when you go back, you get your third entree free." I'm like, I'd be glad to do that. Amen, somebody. Because I like it to be like I want it to be. Now, when I come to church, I don't need to have a cultural cater mentality where people need to serve me. I think we transfer what we want at McDonald's to what we want in the church. And I stopped by to tell you this afternoon, it ain't the same way. Amen, somebody. Now, Anthony and I studied English. We studied history, and we studied the Bible at Harding. And I have fallen in love with World War II history. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Anne Frank, Victor Frankl, Corrie Ten Boom. And over the last 5 or 6 years, I fell in love with Martin Niemöller. Martin Niemöller was a German Lutheran preacher who was arrested by the Gestapo and sent to Dachau, a concentration camp, in 1938. Amazingly, he survived the prison camp experience and was set free by the Allies in 1945. That's 7 years after he was in prison. And out of that horrible experience, Niemöller wrote these haunting words. He said, in Germany, the Nazis came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. The Nazis came for the trade unionists, and I didn't speak up because I didn't work for the trade unions. The Nazis came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Catholic. And then he said, the Nazis came for me. And by then, there was nobody left to speak up. Church, we can let this thing go down the bad road if we want to. But all we need to stop it is a third-class ticket and a towel. We need some people who will not bail out. We need some people who will not detach themselves and stand on the side. We need some people who will not ignore the troubles of our community. We need some people who will roll up their sleeves and say, Brother Anthony, you can count on me at any time of the day, at any hour of the day, for whatever you need. Because I'm not going to turn around. Now, I don't have an Oscar to give anybody. I don't have an Emmy to give anybody. I don't have a Grammy. I don't have a Grammy. But what I have is a towel. And this towel represents service to the Lord. Now, you got three elders here. You got Potts, Tony, you got Gibson. Now, I'm not going to give all three of them a towel, but where's Tony? Tony, now I didn't even know Tony. I didn't even know who Tony was. And I said to Tony after church, I said, I need somebody to go to the dollar store, and I need them to get me some of those hand towels, those face cloths. He said, he looked for somebody first. He said, no, I'll go, Brother Wright. He said, I'm gonna tell my wife, I gotta go to the store and get something from Brother Wright. Now, I just want him to represent the eldership. Brother Tony, come on up here and get your towel. God bless you, my brother. We appreciate what you do for the Lord. Yes, amen, yes. Somebody.
Thank God. Thank you.
Now, there's no way that a church can operate without a point man. Did you hear what I said? Some churches believe that you don't need a point man. But I've lived long enough to know that a church needs a point man that will stand in the pulpit and preach the truth. Somebody says there's no such thing as absolute truth. I stopped by to tell you that if you're flying by the seat of your pants and you don't believe that there's absolute truth, try dying and going to the judgment and you'll find out that there's such a thing as absolute truth. And you need a man that's going to preach that truth. When people listen and say amen, or when they get real quiet and they start moving their feet up so that the meat cleaver doesn't cut off their toes. Amen, somebody. And I believe you have such a man in Elijah Anthony. Brother Anthony, I want to give you a towel for the service that you rendered to the Lord. Amen, my brother. I ain't going to tell nobody your secrets, doctor. There's some deacons here that know how to deacon. And I want to give one towel to represent all the deacons in this church. And this is the brother that I met. I don't even remember his name, but assalamu alaikum, my brother. I want this brother to come up here and get a towel that represents his service to the Lord. God bless you, my brother. I got a couple more towels I want to give out. There are some women in this church who work in a kitchen. It's a thankless job. It's a tireless job. It's a job that people don't like to sign up for. Now, I don't know who all worked in the kitchen, but one lady that smiled at me and I smiled at her and she just was so kind to me, I want to give her one of these towels to represent the kitchen engineers who did such a good job. Come on down here, my sister. I want to give you a towel for your service to the Lord. God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you. Now, I want to give a towel to a teacher. The educational work of the church is so important that we need women and men that are going to say, I'm going to teach. I'm going to give this child, I'm going to give this person everything that my study can give them. I'm not going to wait till Saturday night and then look over a lesson for an hour. But I'm going to read and I'm going to study and I'm going to pray all week long so I can be ready on Wednesday. I can be ready again on Sunday because my students need the best I can give them. It's a service. Amen, somebody. How many teachers here? Raise your hand. Right? All the teachers, raise your hand. We got a lot of teachers in here and some of them ain't even raising a hand. Here's a man. No, you, Tony, you already got one. You can't get another. No double awards tonight. This guy here, did you have your hand up? Come on down here as a teacher. Is it? And I want a woman who, did somebody raise their hand right here? You did? Come on down here. Come on down. These are my last two towels. Well, you know that teachers receive a greater judgment, right?
Yes, sir.
So you take this job seriously.
Yes, sir.
Here's your towel for service, my brother.
Thank you much.
God bless you. My sister, can't give a man a towel without giving a female teacher a towel. We appreciate all that you do for the Lord. God bless you. Now, I only had six, y'all. I wish I had 100 because at least 100 of you understand that not only do you need a third-class ticket, but you need a towel that represents your service to the Lord. Do you understand what I just did for you? Jesus does it. He goes back and he sits down, but nobody says, you need your feet washed too. See, now here's why some of us don't serve. Ain't nobody never giving me no credit. Ain't nobody never saying thank you. They never mention my name in announcements. I ain't never been in the bulletin. Wait a minute. Nobody washed Jesus' feet. Now, if they didn't have sense enough to wash Jesus' feet, why would you get angry in the church if nobody ever mentioned your name? What reward are you looking for? A reward from men? Or are you looking for a reward from God? You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over so many more. Aren't you glad about that? What are we looking for this afternoon? What are we looking for going forward? A third class ticket. And a towel that represents service. It's not an Emmy. It's not a Grammy. It's not an Oscar. But it's a towel. It's not one to wash with. Just put it in a frame. Hang it up and say, this is my greatest award this side of heaven. It's a towel for service. Violet, I got one coming. Anybody that's married to a preacher, anybody that's married to a gospel preacher, anybody that's married to a preacher in the Church of Christ, they deserve a towel. Yes, amen, somebody. Amen. Do I have a witness up in here? Well, thank you. So I hope you can appreciate what Jesus did. What a great example. The master, the teacher.
Do you know what he's facing? He's facing death. These guys don't even understand what he's about to go through. They're just in la-la land. They're not even cognizant of what Jesus is about to go through. And out of what he's got to go through, he's got to stop thinking about himself. And he's got to go get a bucket or a basin and a towel and some water and say, let me show you one more thing that you need to learn before I leave here. You need to learn how to serve one another before it's too late. Does anybody need encouragement this afternoon? We've got time for prayer. We always have time for praying. When we pray for you, God stands at attention. And he says, look at the members of the Roosevelt City Church of Christ. They're praying for one another. It causes God to say, I need to dispatch my answer for those prayers for the person that asked for prayer. And let me tell you something. When God answers your prayer, you need to come back and say, church, remember when you prayed for me on November 15th in that afternoon service when Brother Ray was here? Guess what? Here's what God answered. And I want you to know how thankful I am that you prayed for me while I prayed for myself. Is that all right? Now, if there's somebody here in the midst of this audience who's not a Christian and you're here with somebody who is a Christian, they'll walk down this aisle with you so that you can be baptized into Christ, added to the Lord's body, and that you can become a New Testament Christian and a part of the family of God. There's no greater family for you to be part of than the family of God. Claudine has several sisters and brothers. She's tried to witness to them over the last 50 years. And one of her sisters had some heart problems. She had congestive heart failure. She's on a list for a heart transplant. Claudine talked to her, and she said, I think I'm ready to become a Christian. And it took about four of us to baptize her. She had a lot that she needed to have attached to her, so we needed two on the outside, two on the inside, and we needed a fifth person to actually hold some of the apparatus that she had to have with her. And we baptized her into Christ. The next Sunday, we baptized her husband. Now, it has taken Peter 50 years to talk off and on over the years. And then it took heart trouble to get her to thinking more seriously about her mortality. And all of that brought her to Jesus. I don't know what it takes for some of us. It takes different things for all of us, but God knows what we need. God knows how to humble us, to use Brother Anthony's words, and he'll bring you to a point where you'll say yes to Jesus, and you'll stop saying yes to Satan, and you can become a Christian and a Christian only. What does it take? Well, it takes faith in Christ. It takes repentance of your sins. That's a hard job. Been sinning a long time? Well, you need to stop that sin. You need to stand and say, I'm going to change the way I think about sin. I'm going to turn to the Lord before it's too late. And I'm going to give up that way of life. And then you confess Jesus. And yes, we'll baptize you into Christ. If that's your need, if that's your desire, song of invitation tonight is, I'll be listening. We're going to ask you to come and come now while the rest of us stand and sing the song of invitation.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh, I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening for my name.